We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Senator Gail Golden, the consensus is that women's issues did not fare well at the General Assembly in this past session. One case in point was how a series of bills meant to reduce the likelihood of harassment did not move forward. Business groups lobbied against them. What's your explanation for why those bills did not progress?
I do want to clarify that a sexual harassment bill that was mine did pass the Senate, and the House also refused to take that bill up. So it was a series of House bills as well as that Senate bill that they did not take up. I find that deeply frustrating and, frankly, an insult to women. It is very clear in this year that women are speaking out about their concerns, and that is not an ideological one. That is not about being a Democrat or a Republican. That is about the experience of being a woman in this country. And we need to make sure that our laws reflect that.
You wrote in Glamour last year about how speaking out about harassment can backfire for women in politics. You say that's because when women call out colleagues for sexism, they earn a reputation for being, quote, difficult, sensitive, or worse. Beyond electing more women to the legislature, what would it take to change that?
Electing more women. I think that is the primary thing. I think when I wrote that, I believe that is absolutely true. And it tells the story of what happens every day to us at the State House. What I have seen is a real difference now this year after having written that about how many men who may not even be ideologically aligned with me all the time have stepped up to push back on when certain things happen in the State House, to push back on other male colleagues who may be saying something inappropriate or making a joke or an offhand remark that's intended to undermine our integrity as elected members of the General Assembly. And so it's not just on the women themselves to take that action, but we have seen a lot more people stepping in.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm wondering, what do you think that this latest dispute over the endorsements is going to have on Democratic unity come this fall?
The only thing we're seeing differently is that there's shining a light on what's actually been going on. And it is not that this hasn't been happening all along. If we look back at the history, even just in this past year, of the Democratic Party's Women's Caucus, you know, the fact that it took so much effort to call for a man who was attacking two women members of the House to step down from the party leadership is a pretty big indicator that that problem has existed for a long time.
I'd like to go to national politics. We see how President Trump still does not have great approval ratings, but he does have strong support from Republicans. Do you think Democrats are ready to take him on in 2020? And what kind of candidate would you like to see represent the Democratic Party?
Absolutely. I think that the Democratic Party is well positioned to be able to recognize that Trump is not speaking for the majority of people in this country. I would like to think that the majority of people in this country actually care about their neighbors. This is a real opportunity for the Democratic Party and a Democratic candidate to take on a narrative that really explains how important our values are and what those values are and how we can care for one another and how our laws are made so that people ensure that the policies we have going forward are protecting people who are targets of Trump's agenda.
Who would be your preferred Democratic presidential candidate in 2020?
I don't know that I have a preferred candidate at this moment. I mean, there have been some amazing people floating around, but I think that more people could be coming forward. Obviously, I would love to see a progressive woman.
Why do you think Governor Gina Raimondo's job approval numbers, as expressed in surveys, are just so lukewarm? Shouldn't they be a lot higher?
I think that she has really focused on job growth and the economy, which is an important role for a governor.
But why should that make her controversial?
Well, I think it's not that it's controversial. It's not creating a really strong push from the base. It's not motivating them to speak out in strong support. They like what she's doing, but it's not like she's talking about something that is important to our state. And people expect that, but it doesn't energize the base necessarily in the way that she could have if there were other things she was talking about every day.
We're talking here with State Senator Gail Golden, a Providence Democrat. Do you think the PawSox bill passed by the House, which was also supported by the Senate, makes it more likely that the team will leave for Worcester?
I know I took that vote because I thought it was our only option. It isn't that I preferred that bill by any means, but it was the only bill we had available to us to pass. And so I have no idea if the PSOCs will stay. I certainly haven't been part of those conversations. My hope is it is enough to keep them in the state.
I'm just wondering, was it fair of Representative Teresa Tanzi to say that she was harassed at the State House but never really gave any details or gave a name? Did that put a cloud over all the men at the State House? Was that fair?
I think it's perfectly fair for her to call out somebody for their inappropriate behavior. And it's personally, and it is her prerogative to not say so. I think this is a perfect example about how women get blamed every time we try and speak out. And so she spoke out and got blamed for speaking out because she didn't do it in a way that people thought was great. She was just trying to make a point that this stuff happens, and it happens to us all the time, and we need to be aware of it happens, and we should be asking the people that we vote for about it.
Are you aware of other instances of harassment at the State House beyond what was described by Representative Tanzi?
What is much more pervasive is ongoing sexism that affects who, everything from whose bills get heard or don't get heard, what is we prioritize in the state, who's a chair, to whether or not we are treated fairly and taken seriously in the work that we do.
But isn't it true that just getting a woman in the leadership sometimes doesn't mean anything? You had Teresa Pivoweed as your leader, Senate president, yet she was against abortion rights and she voted against gay marriage.
The thing about Teresa is she brought in some very smart women to staff the Senate. Teresa also put women in charge of committees and actually had them doing the work of the committees and really chairing them. Those are very important changes. You know,
so has there been backtrack under Senator Ruggiero?
I don't think that there has been a backtrack. I think that he is somebody who is fairly pragmatic. You know, the system was working and he went with it. I don't know that that necessarily would have been his priority coming in, but I do think him making the Fair Pay Act his number one bill for this year was a pretty strong message that he was going to support women and certainly support the women legislators up there.
Finally, one of your big issues is paid family leave. How would you describe what that is costing the state and how it's benefiting the state?
Paid family leave in Rhode Island is part of our temporary disability insurance system, which we have had since 1942. And then in 2013, we added temporary caregiver insurance for people to be able to take time off to care for their loved ones or when a new child is in the home. And that's fully paid for by employees in a small contribution we make from our paychecks. Thousands of people have used the new TCI program, and it's been a remarkable benefit. I hear from people all the time who are really happy about it. But even more than just what that did for Rhode Island, it started a national movement, re-energized a national movement. Massachusetts just passed a paid medical and family leave that is incredibly robust and is something that we can look forward to matching in the future.
All right, we're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Rhode Island State Senator Gail Golden, a Providence Democrat.
Thank you so much for having me.